So we're going to be talking about the name of Jesus for healing. The name of Jesus for healing. Now I want you to really receive both personally, but also purposefully with an intent to distribute this knowledge when you come across people. You know, one of the ways that we, as Sister Ola was saying, in exhorting us that, you know, one of the ways we reach out to people is when they're sick, you know, we become God's instrument that he uses to minister healing and health to. Raymond T. Ritchie said years ago, back in the healing revival, before the healing revival started, he said, healing is the dinner bell. Healing is the dinner bell. Keep ringing the bell. And so when you ring the bell of healing, because remember, preaching is the proclamation of the gospel. Teaching is the explanation of the gospel, but healing is the demonstration of the gospel. Amen. And so the gospel is not complete without the healing and deliverance good news that Jesus not only died for our sins, but he also brought remedy to our sicknesses and our diseases. Amen? Isn't that good? And so we've talked about God's health, heaven's health care, and God's covenant of healing in our first installment this month. And, of course, we had a couple good videos from Healing School, from Caris Bible College. We trust that many of you received very good information. Give you a different perspective, because one of the things that's so helpful is you have different vantage points and different viewpoints. All scriptural, but kind of opens up your eyes and broadens your perspective a little bit about the healing power of God, the healing virtue of Jesus. Amen? So that's always good to have different perspective, because the enemy of our soul, friends, is always trying to debilitate us, afflict us, and infirm us with physical illnesses, physical sicknesses and diseases. And so we have to ward against that, not only for ourselves, but also help others get free from the satanic grip of sickness. Amen. All right. So I want to start off with a prophecy that Brother Hagin gave, Kenneth E. Hagin gave, way back when he was ministering along the lines of Believer's Authority. And he says this by the Holy Spirit. He says, the Holy Spirit says, listen to this, power on earth invested in the name. Now, listen to the language of the Holy Spirit. Power on earth invested in the name of Jesus Christ and obtained by him through his overcoming the enemy belongeth unto the church. So this power invested in the name of Jesus Christ and obtained by him through overcoming the devil, the enemy, belongs to us. Therefore, the Spirit is saying through him, exercise that authority. For it belongs to you on the earth, and in this life you shall reign by Christ Jesus. Amen. And so we are to use the name that we've been given, the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So before we get into the actual handout here, let's go to understand how did Jesus obtain his name? How did he get his great name? Well, if you're taking notes or taking notes on the side, number one, he obtained his name by inheritance. By inheritance. Hebrews 11:1 and through 6 tells us, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past by unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, and he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Than who? The angels. Jesus inherited a more excellent name than any angelic being. And as a son, the Son of God, he's heir of all things. Heir of all things, a little blind to us in the King James when we read it, but it literally means lawful owner. Jesus is a lawful owner of all things. That's why he's called Lord, because we would use the phrase, if you're renting, like we're renting here, landlord, property owner. Jesus is lawful owner, Lord of all. Amen? Yeah. So by inheritance. Everybody say by inheritance. By inheritance. Number two, by bestowal. By bestowal. By bestowal, we see in Philippians 2, 9 and 11, wherefore God has highly exalted him because he was obedient to the death. He was completely submissive and surrendered to God, the will of God for his life. God has highly exalted him and given him a name, which is what? Above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things beings in heaven, of things or beings in earth, or things or beings under the earth. Three different realms. That every tongue should confess that what? Everybody say it with me. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So the inference, as E.W. Kenyon said, is that there was a name known in heaven elsewhere unknown. The name was kept to be conferred upon someone who should merit it. And Jesus, as we know, the Son of God, he's known in the bosom of God, was given this name that at his name. Now this word in the Greek amplifies God's personal name that he bestowed upon Jesus. Because of his obedience, of his sacrifice, of his service, of his total surrender to God, God said, I give you my own personal name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, that Jesus Christ is, and then when we say Lord, it's actually the Lord in the Old Testament that he used with Moses. It had no vowels. It was all symbols. It was his personal name. So your name is my name. And, you know, when they wrote the Bible, you know, these ancient writers, when they had to write God's name, they had to bathe and wash every time they wrote the symbol. One symbol, wash, bathe, clean, come back, write one another symbol. That name is holy. Amen. That name is marvelous. His name is high above all other names. Amen? Amen? And so he said, every knee shall bow where? Heaven, earth, and hell. And every tongue should confess that he is Lord in three worlds to the glory of God. So nothing that you and I face that's labeled, whatever it is higher than that name. Now, number three, how did Jesus obtain his name? By conquest. Write that down, by conquest. Colossians 2:15, he obtained his name by conquest. Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, meaning his sacrificial death on the cross, amen, and the shedding of his precious blood. Coney Bear translation says he disarmed. The Greek word means completely strip and disarm. Jesus completely stripped and disarmed the enemy of what? All of his power and authority. He had the keys to death. He had the power of death. Now, we said in the first lesson, if you have to go back to the first Wednesday night, we taught that sin is a form of spiritual death, separation from God. But sickness is a form of physical death. They're all death dependent. Death stemmed from death. Now, the authority over death had been repurposed and reprogrammed under Satan's transgression, and I mean Adam's transgression and Satan's high treason over Adam, and he had the power of death. That means he could exercise dominion over people's lives through sin, through sickness, and his oppression over people. But he's been stripped of that power. Revelation tells us, he told John in Revelations, I have the keys of death and hell. Keys symbolize authority. Jesus has authority over death, which means he has authority over sin. He has authority over sickness. And because he has, remember, his name represents all that Jesus was, all that Jesus is, and all that Jesus will ever be. In three worlds. Heaven, earth, under the earth, hell. So all that Jesus was, all that Jesus is, and all that Jesus will ever be is wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in the name. Then he turned around and said, you got my name. That's why he can say, whatever you ask or command in my name, demand in my name, I will do it. When we say in the name or by the name, we're talking about by his authority, representing his person. By his authority, representing his person. When you say in the name of Jesus, it's like he's right there. Because I'm his representative. Because if you're in Christ, you have a right to use that name. Remember, we said the first Wednesday night, you have a right to use name because you're born again. Amen. You have a right to use a name because you have no unconfessed sin. I'm just bringing it back around. You can't have unconfessed sin in your heart because the devils will mock you. The disease will mock you because you'll be frustrated and trying to figure out why it's not working. Amen? And what's that? The easy way, right? Remember we said just repent. Everybody say repent. Admit it, quit it, forget it. Real simple. Get rid of the sin problem. Jesus already took care of it. You get it. Sin goes out by the way of the mouth. Sickness goes out the same way. So when you talk about my headache, my diabetes, my high blood pressure, my bad cholesterol, my obesity, what are you doing? You bringing it to you. You're not getting it off of you. Amen. Sometimes we mess up with our mouth more than we think. So there's healing. Everybody say there's healing.
There's healing.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
All right. So let's read this scripture together. Mark 16, 15, 18. All right. Everybody got the paper in front of them. Let's read it. Ready? Read. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Excuse me. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Amen.
Now, this word sick, if you want to circle it on your outline, this word sick is a general term, but it's the worst kind of sickness. There's five categories of sickness and disease that Jesus dealt with on the earth. This was the worst kind. This Greek word mastigos, which was the worst kind of, which means critically ill and comatose. So that means you're almost near death. This sickness says that this near-death situation is what any believer can come against effectively in the name of Jesus. When somebody's critically ill and comatose, you and I, as believers in Jesus, as followers of Christ, can lay hands on, and how? Everybody say, in the name of Jesus. You can lay hands on those critically ill and comatose conditions, and they what? They will recover. They shall recover. Isn't that good?
Yes, amen.
All right, let's read the next one together. Acts 3:6. Ready? Read. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What did he have? The name. What do you have? Okay. Everybody say, I have the name. So that means that's all that Jesus was, all that Jesus is, all that Jesus will ever be. You have it. Not going to get it. You have it. You have it right now.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's read the next one. Acts 4:12. Ready? Read. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. All right. So the name of Jesus is salvation, or but we say full salvation, because salvation package is more than just getting a ticket to heaven. Or some people might say fire insurance. It's more than that. The new birth, being born again, and the remission of sins is only a part, P-A-R-T, of salvation. Only a part of salvation. And if that is as far as you think, you limit God. You limit God. Romans 1:16 tells us, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now this word salvation implies the idea, New Testament, Old Testament words, says, implies the idea of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, everybody say healing, and soundness. So this salvation is a great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Everybody say, thank God I'm saved.
God.
This is from Schofield reference. And then, of course, when God says salvation, he's talking about more than just people realize. The gospel is the power of God to deliverance. That's why when you pray for your relatives or whatever, somebody on drugs, somebody going down, you can say, what? In the name of Jesus, I claim their what? Salvation and deliverance. If they have a smoking habit, drinking habit, drug habit. Amen.
Amen.
Is alcohol bigger than the name? Is alcohol stronger than the name? Cigarettes stronger than the name? Nicotine habits stronger than the name? Crack cocaine stronger than the name? No. No other thing, no other person is powerful, more powerful than the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So you can break every chain that binds. Somebody said, glory to God. And always, as we always encourage, we do the spirit-filled, not the religious routine. Don't just do it because you think, okay, Jesus' name is a rabbit's, lucky rabbit's charm or rabbit's foot. You get, have the unction in your spirit. Amen. Have the impetus by the Holy Ghost in your spirit. Sometimes you got to chew on the name and meditate on it. Get faith in the name and then release it. Release it by faith. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. The gospel's gospel of Christ is the power of God to safety. Gospel of Christ is the power of God unto preservation. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto soundness. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto healing. There's healing in the name. The healing that he has already provided becomes real to us through his name. He inherited everything in the exchange of death, burial, resurrection. By his stripes, we get the benefit of being healed. Amen? He was bruised for our iniquities. Amen? The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, we're healed. Amen? And so everything he obtained, everything that was bestowed upon him, everything he had inherited, we get. Because we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and shall recover. Why? Because healing belongs to us. And if you get a hold of it, especially parents and grandparents and young parents, you see kids get sick and they get all these little things, nose running and fevers and, oh, what's wrong with them? You run to the medicine first. The first thing you need to be running to is the name of Jesus. And then you get to a point where you just praise God for the name. You say, they don't get sick. Have divine health in your house. Amen. Divine healing's there. That's good stuff. It's really good. Amen. Divine healing is really good. For any sickness, anything that takes away your health, divine healing has been provided for it. Amen. Praise God. Then you can get to the point where nobody gets sick. No sick days in school. Your kids go all perfect attendance. Not calling out sick, not saying they got a fever, they got the runny nose, their ears are stopped up, you got infection, you got this. You got to say that my kids don't get the cog flu, amen, the Zika virus and all that stuff. In what? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So Jesus, our Lord, has provided for that, amen, in our redemption. Amen? And many times Smith Wigglesworth was ministering to people, and the Holy Spirit said, just say the name. It's all you need. Guy was deathly ill. Wheelchair, crippled. I mean, just gnarled up. In pain. They just got around him and said, Jesus. 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 Power of God started coming in. There's power in the name. There is power in the name. There is healing in the name. There is life in the name. Amen. 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 So I think we need to get stirred up about the name. We need to know that healing for our physical bodies is a part and parcel of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Healing for our physical bodies is part and parcel. Jesus not only took our sins, he also took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Let's read these scriptures together. We got three of them there. Isaiah 53, 4 through 5. Everybody ready? Ready? Read. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Matthew 8:17. Let's read that. Ready? Read. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. So who did it? He did it. Amen. So we don't have to deal with it. I mean, take it or bear it. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24. Ready? Read. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now let's personalize that. Everybody say, by his stripes, I am healed. Amen. Amen. By his stripes, I am healed. Now remember, every time you say it by faith, you don't look for your flesh to tell you if it's working or not. Amen. You don't go stick a thermometer down your throat and say, is it working? I said, by his stripes, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And then you go get a thermometer. That's not faith. That's walking by sight and walking by how you feel. You got to be like Smith Wigglesworth. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what I believe. Faith is your belief in action. You exercise faith in the name. That fever, whatever name it is, that migraine, whatever name it is, that cancer is coming against you. So you put the name against it, and that thing has to bow the knee to the name. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all seeing this? And I want you to see from 1 Peter 2:24 that not only sins are taken care of, but also sickness is taken care of in the same redemptive act. Now, we've really got really strong on the salvation, being born again, coming to Jesus, asking him to forgive us of our sins, receiving him as Lord and Savior, real good. But sometimes we don't see the same death, burial, and resurrection event also purchased and procured our healing and health. So sometimes we end up tolerating sickness more than we should. Just being real, amen. I've done it. I had to confess. I had to repent over stuff like that. And so I want you to get stirred up about resisting sickness just as much as you resist sin. Okay. Now let's look at something that James, Jesus's half brother, the apostle James, said about ministering to the sick. Look at this, James 5:13-16. Is anyone among you suffering? That means going through a test, trial, or affliction. What are you supposed to do? Let him pray. Now, nobody can do your praying for you. You got to do your own praying. That's why we have family prayer. Some people don't. Why we come around the altar? Why we do this? Because you need to pray. You don't just need to look at me to pray, or a few people in the church to pray. You got to do your own praying. If you're going through drama, difficulty, struggles, tests, you pray. The best way to pray, we always said, pray in the Spirit. But you do all things in the name of Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do about this, but I'm just going to yield my spirit to the Holy Spirit to pray about this in the name of Jesus. And I believe you'll give me wisdom, answers, and guidance and direction on this. And then you start, and stick with it until you get a note of victory. Stick with it until you get the answer or light comes into your spirit. Stick with it until the wisdom drops down into your spirit and bubbles up into your spirit. Come on now. Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes we get away from these basic, simple instructions from Scripture. If you're going through difficulty, affliction, suffering, that's what it means. Trial, test, ill-treated by people or problems or pain or pressure. Any of those categories, what are you supposed to do? Everybody say pray. So when you talk to somebody on the phone, sister, you pray. What did the Lord say? We got to help each other out like that. Amen? Amen. Not that we're lecturing or preaching to people, but we need to help each other out and say, are you praying about what the Lord say about it? Because automatically we should pray. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, anyone cheerful, let him sing what? Psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Now the implication or the inference here, nobody's supposed to be sick. But if there's anybody sick, what'd he say? Let him call. Don't expect the pastor or man of God or woman of God to always figure things out or know it. God, you tell them I'm hurting. Well, if the gifts of spirits in operation, that could be possible. Gift, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, or something like that comes along. But that's as the Spirit wills. I can't turn on the spotlight and say, okay, what's wrong with everybody? What's wrong with this person? What's wrong? No, the Lord has to help. Amen? He says, so sometimes you got to call. What happens if you don't call? Well, don't come. Amen. That's why, ministers, I look at everybody in here as ministers. You don't just run up in the hospital because somebody's sick. You got to make sure they call for you. When they call for you, then it means their heart's open and the Lord's perhaps touched their heart to call you to come speak to them, to come minister to them. Amen. I don't go to the hospital unless they call. Say, you need to come. Okay. You want me to come? That's what I'm going to ask. You want me to come? Go. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because you can't cast your ministry in pearls before a swine. Because some people just don't want. They want sympathy. They don't want it. They don't want to get healed. Well, let's keep going. He said, if anyone of you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. How? Anointing him with oil in what? In the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith, or the prayer of faith, will save, or that word save is sozo, make whole the sick. The prayer offered in faith will make whole the sick. And who? The Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, now see the connection again. If he committed sins, he will be forgiven. They run tandem. They run the same. Just like the opposite. We said sin, sickness, and Satan are synonymous. Confess your trespass one to another and pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. So here's another aspect of when sometimes you can confess, that means acknowledge there. Your shortcomings, I messed up. You know, I didn't obey God in this area. Testimonies in that regard. Amen. That's not running your mouth and telling everybody about your problems. Amen. And then, of course, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Does what? Avail much. Now, as we go into that, let's look at the forgiveness of sins and healing. Let's all read 1 John 1:9 together. Ready? Read. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Now, many times we are so connected to the aspect of forgiveness of sins, but in the name of Jesus, forgiveness of sins belongs to us. We would all agree, right? But we need to see what we need to see is it is just as easy to be healed as it is to be forgiven of your sins. It is just as easy to be healed as it is to be forgiven of your sins. Now, many of us would know, oh my God, I'm not going to carry that sin around for weeks, months, years, unconfessed. Hopefully we don't. Right? You know when you missed it, your heart's not right. You got that burden in your heart, conviction going on, and you know I got to get this thing together. I can't carry this darkness and that baggage from the devil around in my spirit. Well, why do we carry it around in our body? That's something we need to think about and let it challenge us in a healthy, productive way. Amen? The moment we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. The moment we confess, he forgives us. When he forgives us, we are forgiven. Either we feel like it or not, whether it seems like it or not. We said a couple of weeks ago, or even last Sunday, repentance is a legal term. It is not feelings. Some people think I gotta cry and get emotional when I made a mistake. That's okay, but that's gravy. That's not needed. God didn't say cry, crawl on the floor. Come on now. Because some people sometimes a religious background, a lot of times Catholic influence, and I'm not trying to downplay Catholic. We love the Catholics. But, sometimes they think that, penance, they get penance mixed up with repentance. But the Bible teaches repentance instead of doing penance. And some people think penance means, the repentance means I got to cry and snob and oh, God, feel so horrible. Now, that's okay if it's done in faith. Amen? The Bible teaches us in the New Testament that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Godly sorrow works repentance. Not the repentance of the world. which is basically remorse. I feel bad that I did this. I did something wrong. It's different than repentance. Repentance is basically acknowledging I was wrong. You're standing in the courtroom of heaven saying, I repent. Amen? I messed up. I acknowledge it. You're right, God. I'm wrong. Amen? And saying, in the name of Jesus, you're going to turn around and get this wiped out of your life, you know, receive forgiveness at that point and so forth and so on. Amen? So it's not, has nothing to do with feelings. Feelings are okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's not, it's the icing on the cake. The real cake is acknowledging with your mouth. I messed up. I did wrong. Amen? And sometimes that's the issue with just even getting healed. We talked about that sister and brother who hadn't spoken to each other for 18 years. They had a fight, and they didn't relate to each other any longer and didn't talk to each other for over 18 years. Well, she began to experience significant issues with disease and sickness, but it was a forgiveness blockage, unforgiveness blockage. And when she finally called her brother and reconciled with her brother and asked him to forgive, because there can be relational schism or relational sin, asked him to forgive her, and she said, oh, no, you forgive me, and they got back to loving on each other telephonically. They said, well, I'm going to come up and see you, you know, after so many years and not seeing him. You know, God doesn't want you to have estranged relationships with anybody. Amen? And of course, she looked up. She was supposed to be in the healing line that evening, and I don't need anything to pray for, because I got my sins forgiven, and healing came along with it. Amen? Now listen to what E.W. Kim says. You got it written there. On the same ground, because see, again, forgiveness, you don't have to feel forgiven. That comes later. You just have to get it out. How do you get it out? I'm not teaching y'all. By what? By the mouth. If you confess it. Amen. On the same ground, E.W. Kim says, the moment I confess that Satan has put a disease on or infirmity on me, that just that moment, he, God, is faithful and righteous to do what? Because what's synonymous? Everybody say it with me. Sin, sickness, and Satan. Are you listening to me? Sin is an ugly offspring of the devil. Because the devil had death, and death working in our spirit was separation from God through sin. Death working in our bodies was sickness and disease and infirmities working in our bodies to kill us. So what about confessing that, hey, I let the devil put this thing on me. Isn't he still faithful? Come on, church. Isn't he still faithful? Amen. Isn't he still just?
Yes.
He said, I want my kids well. You have a right to be healed. Woo, glory to God. You have a right to be healed. You have a right to be healed because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because just like with sin, you confess it, he's faithful and just to do what? Forgive you and what? Cleanse you from what? All unrighteousness. In the same token, he's faithful and just to heal you and deliver you from all sickness and disease. So don't stop owning these pet little illnesses. My leg, my ankles hurt. Those may be facts, but faith speaks the truth into the facts. I'm not moved by you know, how you feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. I believe God's word. Amen. And you release your authority over that thing in the name of Jesus according to the word of God. Are you listening to me? Sickness comes from the same source sin comes from. Doesn't come from heaven. There isn't any up there. We read that the first week, didn't we? So let me read you something from E.W. Kenyon real quick. It's good stuff. You know, sometimes we might need to say, hey, Lord, because the mandate in James 5, he says there's not supposed to be anybody sick in the church. Now, we gave you the standard the first Wednesday night we taught this. When E.W. Kenyon was pastor of New Covenant Baptist Church in Washington, he had a record, 52 years pastoring. Nobody died of any major illness or disease. Everybody died of natural causes, old age, went on with the Lord. Nobody had major surgeries, only minor, outpatient type stuff. Nobody died prematurely. You think he just does it for one church? So we have to understand that in this whole concept of harvest healing, that we have to harvest healing just like we harvest souls. Or we're trying to harvest increase in finances. We got to harvest healing. Amen? Listen to what he says. When he gave us the right to use his name to heal the sick, it was simply that we might bring it on the scene by the use of that name, the fullness of his finished work, and the afflicted one might know that the afflicted one might know the use of that name, the living, healing Christ was present. Why? Because all that his name was, all his name, when you use his name, it represents all he was, all he is, all who it's in his name, by his name, by his authority. Now, don't think lucky charm or rabbit's foot type, you know, I just use that pet name. No, you got to have faith in that name. You got to use that name from your spirit or from your faith talking, not your flesh talking. Everybody here?
Yes.
It's not trying to believe. It's not trying to take healing at that moment. Believing becomes unnecessary because in the modern sense of that term, healing is ours. The name makes it available to us. I qualify. I am authorized to receive healing and wholeness because of that name. And that name belongs to me. It's just like my benefit card. That benefit card is the name of Jesus. When heaven sees you check in and say, I need a new arm, my elbow is messing up and look like degenerative joint disease is trying to work on me, you check in with the name of Jesus and get a new arm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you don't just try. Don't struggle. Just use. Use the name with the same freedom that you use your checkbook. The money, the healing, is on deposit. And you write a check without exercising any type of special faith. Not goosebumps running all over you and say, well, now's the time to use the name. No, that is, you're conscious of exercising. You do it. You're not conscious of it when you write a check or use your debit card. You know money's in there. Hopefully we manage it to where we know money's in there, money's not in there. Sometimes we manage it, but then we're not getting into that. And so we use the name, we exercise by faith, but it's an unconscious faith. That name works. That name has power. I don't have to try to make the name work. I just have to work it. I just have to use it.
Amen.
Amen? that, like Dr. Creflo said, you know, you don't have to try to take authority like you're struggling with the devil, because remember, he's a defeated foe. He's a defeated foe. So when you have, you just speak. He was having problems with his tailbone, Creflo Dollar. And he said he had to speak to his tailbone in the name. Because he had some colon situations with cancer, but he overcame that. But because of the getting all that cancer out, it left a tailbone-ish irritation where he couldn't hardly sit down. He said he had to have padded pants. And he had the cushion just sitting on a piece of wood, like a wooden chair. It was painful. He said, I don't want this thing walking around with this thing having to sit down, because I can't even sit down because of tailbone. So he spoke to that tailbone. The Lord told him, you release your authority. You have the name, release it. Release it against your kidneys. Release it against your liver. Release the name against your lungs. Amen. Foot, you stop swelling up in the name of Jesus. Blood circulation, I command you in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Somebody say glory to God. Now, you don't go check and see, well, is it working? Is it feeling? But you done already went back to the doubt side. Because you're trying to check and listen to my technical phrase, check and see if it's working. We walk by what? Faith and not by
sight.
So I'm giving you good healing technology tonight. Holy Ghost technology. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And so this is the program of God. Everybody say the program of God. Yes, 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 yes. All right, so what about God's program today? If we understand his program today, the sick would simply be healed the moment that sickness touches him. Now, saints of old got a revelation of this, because they would act out. They would release their faith when their children got sick or they got something going on, because they immediately, listen to my phrase, they would rebel against it. They would resist it. Remember, I said you have to resist sickness just as much as you resist sin. Satan's tempting you to do something disobedient or sinful. You got to resist that, right? I'm not going to yield to that. You know, you got to resist the devil, the Bible says, and you're free. But what, you got to resist sickness. Terminate assignment that the devil's launched against your body. He bringing that thing up, you got to say, no, you don't. Don't come crawling up on me. Don't encroach my body. And sometimes, as Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. So sometimes you got to be forceful. You can't be patty caking with the devil and, tiptoeing through the tulips with the devil. Devil, please, don't give me allergies again, please. No. Stand your ground.
Amen.
Resist. Amen.
Amen.
Or if it has to go to an intense level, rebel. So like Dr. Dollar said, he said, I had to rebel against my body, my tailbone, and talk to it and command it. Amen.
Amen.
Is everybody getting something out of this tonight?
Yes.
Glory to God. These are good technical points that we all need to be. We are healing and should be healing and Holy Ghost technicians in this church. Because we're not just part gospel, we're full gospel. Amen? So we preach, we proclaim Jesus Christ. We teach, we explain the principles, the patterns, the processes in the of Christ. But we also, we heal. We demonstrate the gospel, the power of God, the power of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So we, Romans 8:11. Let's read that. We're almost done. Everybody good?
Yes.
But if the same, let's read that together. Ready, read. But if the same spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Now, this is referring to our bodies now. Mortal means death, doom. I mean, the moment you're born. I mean, we got a baby coming real soon. And so the moment that, you know, don't think that, okay, yeah, you got a certain amount of time. That body's going, it might grow up, but it's growing to the grave. Amen. You slow it down, praise God. As it's a reality. It's appointed to all men to die. But see, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit only because your body is a temple of your human spirit. Amen. And the, one of his reasons for indwelling in you, the Holy Spirit, not the only reason, not the only purpose, but one purpose is to quicken your mortal bodies, according to the scripture, to heal your physical body, to heal your physical body. Quicken means to make alive or to make full of life. So it's like resurrection life is resident in your spirit, the same life of Christ himself. But healing is quickening or mini resurrection, bringing life to a body that's diseased, decayed, or disabled. So don't talk, my arm's never going to be good. My fingers are never going to be good. Amen. Don't talk about your eyes like you're going blind. Don't talk about your ears, your hearing. Like the doctor said, you ought to say what Dr. Jesus said. Amen. Amen. Jesus put away sin. He bare our sins. He also took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The Greek word bear, Hebrew word bear, means the removal or convey to a distance. E.W. King summed it up. There is no more need for our bearing about in our bodies, our sicknesses, than there is the bearing about of our spiritual nature, the unforgiven sin. Now, does everybody see that? Does everybody believe that?
Yes.
Amen. So, what else was I going to read, Lord? Now, as we close, I want to remind you of, remember, how does God heal? How does he do it? We talked about the first session. It's God initiated, remember? That's the sovereignty of God. Usually the gifts of the Spirit, we see the example of that, the pool of the Bethesda. God sent an angel down. There was no predictable timetable, no schedule. He just sent an angel down to trouble the water, and whoever first stepped in it was healed. So God initiates. What we in the New Testament experience, well, the gifts of healings, the word of knowledge, the working of miracles, and the special faith as all part of God's working to bring miracles and healing into our being. But they're mainly for folks outside the church. Why? Because healing's the dinner bell. We got to ring the bell. We gotta put God on the scene in people's lives when they say, "Man, the doctor just told me I got that." Well, can we pray for you? And watch God show up. Be the vessel that he uses in that rare area. And then there's faith initiated. So it's God initiated. So God does stuff all by himself because he's God. Nobody like him. Amen. Praise, blessed be the name of the Lord. And of course, faith initiated. That means you exercise your faith. You put your belief system investment in the word of God that promised you healing and health. Amen. And so you have faith in the name, faith in the word. God's word is healing medicine. And you say, I'm gonna believe and receive my healing. Grace has provided this because I see it as a promise written in the word. Grace has provided, remember what we said, grace makes healing available. Healing is a grace. It's spiritual. You can't earn it. You can't merit it. Healing is spiritual. That's why you have to receive it by faith. Where? In your spirit first. Some people say, I want to receive the feeling first. No, you got to receive it by faith first. Your wrist still may be hurting. Your arm may be still cheddared with bumps, and it looks like you got a rash or something. But you receive healing where? Here, in your spirit. Then the healing power of God, as you exercise your faith, begins to go to work, affecting a healing and bringing about a cure to that condition that Satan, sin, or sickness has brought in your body. Somebody said, glory to God. So you receive it by faith, friends. You don't, feelings have nothing to do with it. You might look the same. Your eye may be all closed up and puffed up still. But by his stripes, in the name of Jesus, you are healed.
Amen.
Amen? And you don't check with your feelings to see, is it working? No, you got the confirmation. The word of God says it's working. The name of Jesus guarantees it works.
Amen.
Glory to God. So you exercise your faith. So I want everybody in this room to really get aggressive about this, because we need to have testimonies. They're from where Brother Steve is all the way over to Tristan and everybody in between. We need to be testifying one by one, God, how you receive your healing from God. Because we need to ring that bell.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
I used to have this, but the Lord delivered me from this. Glory be to God. Amen. We don't take credit on ourselves. We don't brag on ourselves, but we give Jesus the glory.
Amen.
Give God all the glory. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, like Sister Ola said, you know, bringing people in, you don't have to bring them. They'll be coming. Can we go?
Amen.
We heard God heals over there. We heard God does miracles in your midst. Come on now, they're going to be lined up waiting for the door open.
Amen. Amen.
Are you seeing this?
Yes.
And then the last one is wisdom initiated. I'm not going to talk too much about that, but that's basically where the Holy Spirit leads you. You need to stop doing this because it's making your body infirmed. Y'all remember the story I told about Brother Copeland with the coffee. There was something in coffee that was rebelling against his body. His body was rebelling against, excuse me. And he had to, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, put that coffee out of his life. Amen.
Amen.
And so that's wisdom. That's wisdom initiated, where God says, you got to stop drinking soda.
Amen.
Put those Cokes down, Pepsis. Put that aspartame diet stuff out of your life. Well, never mind. I'm just keep going. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Let's stand. Y'all get something out of that tonight?
Yes, amen.
Glory to God. Come on up. Y'all know the routine, the drill. Glory to God. Now, as you come.